This is a HeadGum Original.
Welcome back to Buckets. It's about that time of year. The greatest three words in NBA basketball: play-in tournament. Let's talk about it with Billy Scafuri.
You're getting buckets.
And one of the greatest play-in tournament teams of our generation, the Los Angeles Lakers, are back, folks.
Play-in, in-season, LeBron just likes to be about the extra buzz. He's played like four or five extra games in his career at this point.
The man likes to make himself sweat.
Yeah, like, let's get a practice game in. Let's give the NBA what they want, an exciting extra game. Lakers 2-0 in play-in history, going for 3-0 tomorrow.
And you were you made it to the Western Conference Finals as a play-in team? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, the first year of the play-in, we were the seventh seed. That was the LeBron, I can't see the basket, I made a three.
Right.
Send Golden State home. Or to Memphis, was it? And then we ended up losing to Phoenix at the 2-7. Last year, we were the seven seed. We played the play-in game. We beat the Timberwolves just barely. It was like on a Mike Conley three-point getting fouled, buzzer forcing overtime. Then we took the seven seed. We beat the Grizzlies. We beat the Warriors. And we lost to the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. And now this year, we're the eight seed. Still playing that first play-in game. But this is for the seven seed. But we're playing on the road. We're playing in New Orleans this time.
It really goes to show how good the Western Conference is, because we watched enough. Like, I watched enough as a casual fan. You've watched probably all of them this year, and they weren't a bad team by any stretch. Maybe they weren't
even the Warriors. The Warriors are 10th. Like, they would be maybe favored in a series against Minnesota at this point.
If the play-in didn't exist, do you think that the Lakers and Warriors would have a different approach to the regular season?
All the play-in tournaments the Lakers have made, they would have made the playoffs anyway, in that seed specifically, so it hasn't changed much. This is the first year we can actually leap up. We can go from the 8th seed to the 7 if we win tomorrow.
Right.
So it seems like it made the regular season important, and they are like 47 and 35. They hit their over just barely. They were like 14 games over 500, which is pretty solid.
Yeah, it feels like the play-in is, in my mind, like an abject success. Like, it's been good for the sport overall.
Yeah,
it's good. But it is funny how, like, psychologically, the Lakers being an 8 seed, it's like, oh, they got a little charity this year. Like, the league was like, you could still try and make it. But, like, 4 years ago, they were just a playoff team.
Yeah. Well, honestly, a lot of Laker fans are saying, like, we'd rather be the 8th seed. I'd rather just go straight to OKC than have to play a game to potentially play Denver.
But there is a chance that you will. So it's well-tread territory that the Nuggets and the Sacramento Kings are kind of your kryptonite. They both pose just like difficult matchups for the Lakers, right?
Haven't beaten them this year.
Right. And you would have to, if the Kings beat the Warriors and the Lakers beat the Pelicans, then you would see the Kings in the final play-in game, correct?
Yeah.
Intense. So there is like this like fun, like, well, at least they're avoiding the Nuggets, but it's like, yeah, but they might have to go through the other bad team.
Well, that's the big Twitter debate right now. I don't know if you've seen it, but a lot of people are talking about it on TV. Should the Lakers tank that first play-in game to avoid Denver?
Yes. And what are your feelings on that?
I would say they shouldn't, just because the risk of losing a home game play-in just to play the Thunder instead of the Nuggets is too risky.
Just make the playoffs.
Too high risk, too high reward.
Yeah, just make the playoffs. Like, don't get cute at this point. Like, you're on the razor's edge to begin with. Don't get cute with it.
And there is something to be said about playing the Nuggets when you're a little bit more, like, less worn out. Like, we played a really tough series against Memphis and Golden State, so by the time we got to the Nuggets, they were rested. They, like, you know, 1-5 and 6, and they were okay.
Yeah.
We were, like, barely scraping by, like, beat the Warriors in a really hard-fought series, and then the Nuggets just swept us. So, like, maybe this gives us a better chance, potentially, but then...
But we can't get ahead of where we're at right now. So the nature of this podcast today, we're going to just look over some of the matchups and potential matchups that we're going to see in the playoffs, and Lakers-Pelicans is wild because you guys were up, like, 39 at one point yesterday, but Vegas has, like, opened the books at Pelicans being, like, 1.5-point favorite for this game.
We came into that game barely beating Memphis. AD was like, and then we had lost the previous last two games. So there was this thinking like, maybe the Lakers are just falling apart at this point. And the Pelicans were hot. Like, they beat Sacramento and Golden State back-to-back, and they looked awesome. They were like mm-hmm. buzzsaw, Zion, unstoppable. And they're like, all right, Pelicans at home in a kind of the game they need to win mm-hmm. to get the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron hit that extra gear that the Pelicans don't have. LeBron was like, I'm going to try to play highly focused, high effort, high IQ basketball. Minimal mistakes, 13 assists, 13 points at half.
Yeah.
He was in total control, and he was guarding Zion on the other end.
Right, which means that Anthony Davis is like, cool, I'll just be here if you need me.
And then the Pelicans were trying to guard AD with, like, Jonas Valanciunas, which didn't work. Then they brought in Larry Nance, and he was too small. Then at one point, they tried Cody Zeller on AD, which is really not fair. And then
yeah.
Like, that's it. Those are our three call guys. We're out.
You don't want to go to Zell. Like, when you go to Zell, it's just, you know, this is like straws. We're just grasping right now.
They were shook. At that point, you're playing Zeller. You're a little bit flustered.
So do you think that Vegas is onto something? Ultimately, that they're like, history will not repeat itself. It's really hard to beat a team twice in a row, especially when like everything's on the table. Like, where are you? Do you think it's going to be another? Here's the question: do you think it's going to be closer to another 39 point victory or closer to a 1 point loss?
I think the Lakers will win in a closer game. I'd be surprised if they beat them easily again, because that's mm-hmm. not really how, like, this is almost like a playoff. Like, that was game one, now it's game mm-hmm. two, and it's hard to take both games on the road. Usually you get a split because the other team tries harder the second game, and the Lakers team would put their foot off the gas a little bit. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of a unique situation because this is another game. It's like a game seven and then another game seven.
Mm-hmm. A game eight. The ultra rare game eight.
It's another weird thing. It's like, okay, wait, if the prize isn't necessarily amazing, then you subconsciously not try as hard? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one.
If I'm a Lakers coach, I'm not worried about the Nuggets. I'm not worried about the Thunder. It's just like, let's get us as good as we can be right
now.
Yes,
let's try to play great basketball. Two great games in New Orleans, then you rest until Saturday and you give Denver your best shot. I think that's the way to go.
And then just believe that you can beat anybody. Like, really, like, find a way of believing in yourself that we could beat anybody. We just have to play our best brand of basketball. Whether or not that's true.
I don't fully believe in the basketball gods, but I do a little bit. I believe in the basketball gods more than real God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I do, too.
Because it's like, you know, when the Clippers are, like, dodging teams and trying to, like, tank, it's just, like, it feels, like, kind of weak, and, like, that's not the mentality you want to, like, put into the ether, the playoffs,
sure.
And it hasn't worked out for them.
Sure. Yeah,
much
I know.
Much like
yep.
your New York City Knicks.
Look at that. I mean, we laugh at...
fans also wanted to, like, all right, let's pump the brakes in game 82. We don't need to win this game. We can be the three seed. We can play Indiana in the first round. That's not terrible.
And those fans were right, dog.
But again... if somebody believes in the basketball gods, it's definitely Tibbs, and he's playing DiVincenzo 53 minutes to win this game badly.
It's like every time you think you've met the Tibbs stereotype, like he pushes it further. It's like Deuce McBride played like 48 straight minutes. People were like, that's crazy. And it was like, watch what else I could do. And kind of a meaningless game. My main shooting guard's going 53.
Well, meaningful in that they could have put their foot off the gas a little bit and like said, okay, the three seed's not bad. We want to have home court in the second round, but we'll very much so increase our chances of getting there. The Knicks are like, no, we're not afraid of Philly or Miami. Their fans are like, we're kind of afraid of Philly and Miami.
And I'm actively afraid of Philly and Miami.
They have rooting for in that 7-8
they have,
game.
I'm rooting for Miami. You have to root for Miami because Embiid is, he's truly unstoppable, right?
Yeah. When he's playing, he was the MVP.
Yeah, and he's playing.
Yeah.
That's he's playing again.
But he might not. Like, he's not long for this world, it seems like. A lot of like, ooh, he came up gimpy. Oh, he's limping to the locker room. Oh, he fell down and he's staying down. It's not a great look.
Yeah, it does have the energy of like, if the Knicks won the first two games and Embiid gets a little banged up in the third, they would almost rest him the fourth type of thing.
Exactly. And then it's like, oh, okay, now we got the first round. We slayed Miami or Philly, which is mm-hmm. a huge boost to the psyche. And then you got home court against the Bucks, and the Knicks have a great home court advantage. Game one in the second round versus Milwaukee is going to be insane.
And the calf strain of it all, too, is like, that's a big deal. Like, that's huge.
Milwaukee might not get past whoever they see.
Yeah, and like having to even just play like at 60, 70%, 80%, whatever that is, you know, it's very hard to make
Pacers
a long
might
run
beat them anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, the Pacers versus the Bucks is a really interesting matchup. Like the Pacers play so fast.
I wouldn't put it I wouldn't like be shocked if Giannis just can't play in this series. Like, a calf strain is not something like a bruised shoulder where you can like tough it through. Like, you have to be able to run and jump, especially if you're Giannis. And it's like,
yes.
If this is just a 3-week injury, he can't play.
And it's also kind of weird because it seems like enough people have video access where they're like, oh, this is where the injury actually occurred. Because it was a not quote unquote non-contact injury. He like inbounded the ball and then just like sat down like a little kid. Like, there's something like something's a little wrong here. He like grabbed the part of the leg where you're like, I hope it's not his Achilles.
I really thought he dutied a little bit.
Yeah, he had the someone change my diaper energy. Yeah. He sat down and he just looked around like someone help.
Help me.
But I mean, so we don't know what the injury was, so we don't know how fast it will heal. There hasn't been like it's a grade 3 or a grade 1 or whatever.
Well, they
said
something about a soleus, like S-O-L-E-U-S, soleus part of your calf. So there is some details, but nothing I fully understand. But it's like, you know, a 2 to 4 week injury where the difference between those two things are he'll play in game one or he'll miss the first round.
And if you listen to, I think, what was at least yesterday, the most recent Zach Lowe podcast, he had an injury specialist on who he's like, this is the guest I hate the most. I never want him on my show.
Yeah.
But he was talking about how like your calves are made up of a bunch of tiny muscles. But like forever, we've just been like, it's a calf injury. You know, your quad are 4 muscles, but we just call it a quad and we don't get into the details. But now it seems like certain teams are like, we'll like pinpoint exactly what it is. And the soleus is the word of the week.
Or maybe it's important players. They're like, we got to give more detail. If it was like,
that's interesting.
Grayson Allen is like, yeah, he hurt his leg.
I don't know, bottom half injury. We won't even tell you which leg.
Just know he can't walk.
But that is probably the biggest question mark health wise. Going like Embiid will always have like question marks around him, but like that Giannis is like that's a team that was either going to challenge the Celtics and Knicks for the Eastern Conference Championship, or they could easily get bumped. Did they? So we do our points league, where it's like we draft players in the playoffs and see who scores the most points and whatever. Mm-hmm. Did the Bucks get bounced earlier than expected last year too? I can't remember.
They lost as a 1 seed to Miami. Jimmy Butler.
That's it.
As an 8 seed.
That's
so that
it.
Was a big, huge upset.
Do you think the Heat are better than they were last year?
They seem worse.
Yeah, they do. They seem to be scoring less, right?
Yeah, scoring less, and they're not like they don't have like the Gabe Vincent and
Max Strus.
Whoever Max Strus is of the world that can get hot, and then
right,
it's, like, it's just Jimmy Butler. He's a little bit older.
God,
Kyle Lowry's gone. They got Terry Rozier is a little helpful. I don't know. That's another team that says they can turn it on, and that so far they have. So it's hard to be like roll your eyes at them, but one of these years they won't.
Yeah, so the Knicks won in overtime in a hard-fought game against the Bulls. Which
so you're watching that game. By the way, the Bulls had even less to play for than the Knicks. So, like, I don't know if the ghost of Tibbs is still inceptioning them, but why were they – they were locked into 9.
My instinct is – and I'm with you.
Really, really trying to win that meaningless game.
Like, I guess the push-pull would be that – sit all your stars, avoid injury. Like 100% avoid
injury.
The
Warriors sat their stars and they had something to play for.
I know.
Nothing to play for. And they're like, DeRozan, get out there.
My instinct is that they had him play so that they could just be as airtight as they could be going into the game on Tuesday, where now everything is must win. Right. But like with the Knicks of it all, it's like we're resting for a week. We're just got to be like doing the roommates show with Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. Like we don't have a lot to be
Sunday
doing.
To Sunday. Off.
Yeah. So it's like, do you really need Dante to do 53? Like, we know the answer to that.
And so when you were watching that game, were you watching?
Yes, I was watching.
And were you really rooting for the Knicks to lose or were you just like, I guess I'm confused, but whatever happens is fine.
So it's complicated for a number of reasons. I wanted the Knicks to have home court in the second, if that's the case. But I recognize that just getting to the second will be harder by playing either Philly or Miami.
Yeah.
But on top of all of that, we had an over-under league, and it was game 82. And me and Adam Lustig were jostling for the
virtual
first and
tie.
Second. Virtual tie. So like those games mattered to me too. And I had the Bulls over and the Knicks under. So that would have, if the Bulls had won that game, I would have pretty much been like coasting for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But I lost 2 points on that one game alone. And so it's complicated. It was a very tough watch.
We should say you did end up winning that league by 2.
Won that league by 2. Thank you, Toronto Raptors, for losing your last 75 games of the season.
They hit the e-brake so hard.
Dude.
They didn't want any part of any game for a month and a half.
They were starting to sit everybody, and they have nobody. You know, it was like they were such a gift to me. And you need a couple of those teams that are like,
to break
shut
the
them
right
down.
Way.
Yeah, just absolutely shut them down teams. But I think I was the only one in our league this year who didn't have like a blood red team, meaning like a team that was like 12 to 15 in the wrong direction.
Basically, yeah. A Raptors over.
Exactly. Exactly. Or like a Memphis over.
Yeah.
Like a
team killer.
Yeah. Like Zeus picked Memphis over and he didn't play this year. Like yeah, he was like in so. The basement. There was no coming out of that.
Because it's like early on, you know that a team is going to not get within 20 games of their over under.
They were just losing at such a clip to begin the season and then everyone got hurt. By the way, what would you guess is the win line for Memphis next year?
Uh-oh. Does it? It's got to be similar because like, if anything, higher maybe because Ja's going to be, you know, not suspended and in theory well-rested.
Mm-hmm.
And then they discovered some cool new young players like the Gigi Jacksons of the mm-hmm. world. And they're bringing everybody back and Brandon Clark's going to be a year healthier.
Yep.
Grant, Bain, Jackson. And it still might be like 47 and a half.
Totally. They're like one of those teams that could make like such a massive leap that we just forgot because they were piss poor. And they're probably going to have the number one draft pick this year. Did they have the worst record?
I don't know if they... No. The Pistons, the Wizards,
right.
And Pistons, Wizards, and Hornets had the worst record.
Damn. Those are just some poverty teams, really, at this point. Like, yeah, I had Wizards over. At every game, I was like, here comes a whole new way to lose. They couldn't win. Kuzma
don't
even...
Don't root for it.
Kuzma tweeted. It. Did you see his tweet? He was like, year 7-7 in the books. I'm like extremely blessed to play for this franchise, and I promise I'll do better next year, Washington.
I played 41 games and made $30 million. That was awesome.
I'm extremely blessed.
It's like, yeah, I guess if you want to just play meaningless basketball, there is some joy to that. Like, I don't have to stress about the playoffs. I don't have to have fans yelling at me on Twitter because we're the Wizards. And it's just like, I'm the best player on a team where the games don't really matter. And I'm getting paid
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun.
Now think of Ben Simmons. He's just like, I just have to wear cool outfits. That's the only thing people expect from me at this point. Forget playing. I'm wearing a cool outfit. And some people might enjoy that.
But he at least gets made fun of a lot. Like, Kuzma is just like...
Right. Right,
who's
sweet
mad,
spot.
Who's mad at Kuzma? They're not Kuzma's not the reason they're terrible.
Sweet spot. He's exactly... I don't have to do much, but you don't hate me. I'm getting 35 a year.
Kind of my hero.
Yeah, he's doing exactly your style. He's really living your ideal life.
He wears nice pink sweaters. It's all gravy for Kuzma.
Should we go through some of these other rounds that we
yes,
have in front
please.
Of us?
We have okay. four series set and four TBD. So I feel like we spent a lot of time talking about the TBDs and not the series that are set.
So the series that are set currently are the Clippers versus the Mavs.
Love it.
The Wolves versus the Suns.
Great.
Cavs versus the Magic.
Could take or leave.
And the Bucks versus the Pacers.
Bucks Pacers, it'll come down to Giannis. I think if he plays, they'll win. And if he doesn't, I think the Pacers will win.
See, I'm not even so sure that if he plays, they win. Because if he plays, I don't think he's got to be 100%. And when he did play, they had that historic run of losses to Charlotte, Washington, and Memphis?
Maybe Toronto.
Toronto snuck in there?
I think the Raptors won one game in like a month and a half, and it was like at Milwaukee. It was really pathetic.
They were my first pick in the over-under league, and I picked the under. And like even when I did it, I was like, this is ballsy, but I do believe myself that they're not as good as they were with Drew Holiday. And they looked bad like all year. Like there was never like really that run where you're like, they're a juggernaut.
It was like five games where they're 4-1, and then they would lose three games. It's just there was nothing for a franchise that had so much joy with like Giannis mm-hmm. and Drew and Chris coming of age and winning mm-hmm. a championship. It's been very, very frustrating, I bet, as a Bucks fan to watch them since that.
Yeah, the Dame of it all has really just like confused. It seems like all parties, including Dame, are confused about like what are we?
Yeah.
What are we when we hit the court?
And I don't want to put it all on Dame because last year they lost in the first round to Miami. That wasn't like Dame getting punked. That was Drew
mm-hmm.
Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So like, say what you will about Drew being the best playoff performer and Dame being like, you know, coming from a place that it just needed him to go ham and could come in and put up empty stats. It's not like Drew fared much better last year.
It's true. It's so valid.
I don't hate the trade as much as like revisionist history would dictate, but at the same time,
yeah,
I would say it's backfired a little.
It hasn't,
because Drew went to Boston,
and he looks so. He just signed a $135 million contract with them. By the way, they were like, "We want you. We want you."
Hung out with Drew Holiday
in your office.
Great guy.
Great guy. Awesome. Spent 20 minutes with him. Didn't talk basketball for 1 minute. Talked about his kids. Talked about his family. Talked about travel. I was like, "You're a well-rounded man, Drew Holiday. We love to see it."
And now he's fucking loaded. And if the Celtics, God forbid, win the championship, I guess I'll only be happy for Drew Holiday.
Yeah. But let's put some attention on the Pacers real quick, because I feel like we've kind of focused on the Bucks. The first 20 games of the season, they obviously like regressed to the mean. But for like the first 20 games of the season, they were like unprecedented to a certain extent. They were
IST finalists.
Yeah. They were playing at the top of their game, and the top of their game seemed like they could beat, like, you have to score 135 against them to win.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that matches up really well against the Bucks, who don't seem like,
the Bucks seem a little slow and old. So like,
exactly,
the Pacers might be a team that can take advantage of that and put up 135. And I don't think the Bucks are a kind of team that can score 135 without Giannis.
Totally. I don't think Brook Lopez wants to be running suicides for 48 minutes. You know, like, they just have speed.
Pat Beverly in the starting lineup.
Give me TJ McConnell. Is that who they have? TJ McConnell? Like, give me that over Pat Bev. 10 times out of 10.
I would assume the Bucks are a pretty heavy favorite. Maybe
that's a good question.
Some cash to be made.
Yeah. Do you have? Yeah. As always, I posited out to Twitter. We're doing a buckets. Do you have any predictions for the playoffs? And the first one that showed up was Pacers and six over the Bucks.
Wow. Yeah. Pacers are +150. Pacers and six is probably even more.
+150. I mean, it doesn't seem crazy. They're not going to have Giannis for at least a game. At least a game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It seems like it.
Yeah, I heard on the radio as well that people were like, you know, this is starting to like trend into the territory of, you might just have to sit Giannis for like, regardless. Like, this was the injury before the injury for Kevin Durant. Like, this is sometimes a precursor
play with
to
a weak calf
and then lose the season.
Yeah,
lose 2025. Yeah.
Also, +150 is the Orlando Magic, who I also kind of like to beat a struggling Cleveland Cavaliers team. I don't know why the Cavs aren't very good, but they're not very good.
Yeah, I'd say that like the two most improved teams were the Pacers and the Magic this year. Would you agree?
Magic are great and don't get any respect whatsoever. I don't know why. Like,
yeah,
they're like 200-1 to win the championship, which is like the same as Sacramento.
Mm.
They're a 5 seed. Mm-hmm. they're like in the mix.
They just smoked Milwaukee. Defenses. They just like they're very good.
Banchero's awesome.
Yes,
and they play really well defensively, and they're like, nah, the Magic aren't going to do anything. And they're not favored against the Cavs. They're pretty big underdogs. I kind of like Orlando as well.
Do you think that it's because they just don't get the media? Like, there's almost no... That's like one of the least covered teams in the NBA.
That's probably part of it. Like, it takes a few years of reputation before people...
watch.
...start paying attention to you.
Yeah.
And Paolo isn't like a... He's not like a Wemby where it's like an exciting, sexy rookie. It's just like, this guy plays really solid. Almost like...
Randall
SGA on the Thunder.
He reminds me of like Randall too, where it's like, you are just like bring your lunchbox to work, like 20 and 10, just
not
like hard buckets. Not
I
fun
to
guard. Yeah, it looks painful.
Yeah, I don't want to get hurt. He's tall and strong.
Right.
I don't want to guard him. I don't.
I do fear the Cavs a little bit. Like Donovan Mitchell still is Donovan Mitchell. You know.
Yeah, I fear the Cavs on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see like the Lakers play them, and I see the Clippers like come back from down 26. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know why the vibes aren't right. Something's not right over there. It's a team game, and the team's not vibing right now.
Yeah. Garland seems to make the hardest shots in the league. Like, he is like running around like Tyrese Maxey and like just trying to get to the 3-point line and just chucking. And they go in. But like, when I watch it, I'm like, wow, this seems like a hard way to play basketball. Like a really like sweaty way to play basketball.
Yeah, it seems like the Cavs, if they lose, are going to have to make a big-time decision on Donovan Mitchell v. Darius Garland.
What is the... Can you clarify for me what the current state of Donovan Mitchell's contract is? Like, because Knicks fans think he's inevitable, but I don't really understand the reality of it all.
I think he has 1 year left in Cleveland. So if he's like, by the way, Cleveland, I'm leaving at the end of this year, the Cavs might be like, okay, this is the summer where we trade him and try to turn him into Julius Randle and 3 first-round picks or something.
Got
like
it.
That.
Got it.
Before he leaves next year.
So you think that they're, if they were to do a trade, it would be more likely to happen in the offseason than like at the trade deadline?
This offseason, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to you about this, but like, OG Anunoby's defense is so crazy. It's like so, like, you hear about it, but then when he's on your team and you watch it every game, you're like, you're trying to shoot over Anunoby? Like, bad idea, dog. And now I'm like, we've been played maybe since like January at least 20 games, 25 games without Randall, and like we haven't really lost a step.
You don't miss him that much.
Yeah, and so you wonder, it's like, damn, it's like, does Randall get moved? Like,
what's his trade value right now? Like, what team needs a Julius Randle?
I guess, like, I mean, like a Thunder team? I don't know. Like, what do you even, like, what would you expect from him? Like, veteran leadership? I mean, he's still pretty prime in his career right now. Yeah. He's just solid as hell.
Yeah.
But he stopped shooting, and then Brunson started scoring 40 a game. Brunson is so awesome for us.
It is insane to see, like, Brunson was with Luka, then left and sort of became Luka. Like,
yes.
Oh, Dallas had two Lukas this whole time.
Dude.
They kind of have any idea they had two Lukas? I think well, they moved, did because Luka was injured one series and then Brunson just beat the Jazz by himself.
Then he was like, meet Brunson. Yeah. I know. He was like $4 million for $44 million or something. Yeah. And the Mavs were like, we'll wait and see. On that note, Mavs clips.
Great series.
It's a pretty good series.
Dallas is my first pick of the over-under. I'm like, Dallas under. They stunk at the end of last year. Kyrie's a head case. They're traded half their team. They don't have Dorian Finney-Smith. The Kleber's getting old. They can't play defense. And sometime in the last 6 weeks, they traded for and then inserted P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford into their starting lineups or something. They have an amazing defense. The vibes are off the charts. Luka and Kyrie are like just playing at the level where it's like, just because we have these guys, we probably won't lose level of basketball.
And Derek Lively rocks. We root for Derek Lively.
Off the bench for them. He's
but
a tall
dunker,
rim runner, dunker.
Yeah,
now.
Just a violent, awesome basketball player. So fun to watch. But are they? They're not going to be favored over the Clippers, but
they are slight favorites. They're -115 over the Clippers.
Wow,
the Clippers are 105. So basically even, but Clippers have home court. Whatever that's worth in this series.
I wonder if that indicates that Kawhi might miss a couple games.
Another guy. We just have no fucking clue. Knee soreness for Kawhi either means he's fine or he tore his ACL 3 weeks ago and they're not
telling. It's so frustrating. It is so frustrating, man.
He's fine. He's just, it's sore. It's sore and he can't play. He's not moving. He can't walk, but it's sore. But he might play, but I think he tore his MCL, but we're not sure. He might not play next year or he might. We don't know. We'll see.
This is exactly what happened in the playoffs last year. This is exactly what happened. Like, he just, like, was, like, questionable for a game, and they're like, he's actually going to sit. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, just get your rest and come back next game. He's definitely going to sit next game, too. They advance. He's not going to play this series. Of course, you're like, what is going on?
What's going on? Yeah, I don't know. Like, just the fact that it's hanging over their head. But then if he does play, he's the best player.
Yeah.
So it's hard to be like, Dallas will probably beat the Clippers, because if he does play, there's just no way of knowing.
Yeah. The Clippers have been a pretty frustrating, is that the right word?
They're
pretty
inconsistent.
Like, so inconsistent, so unreliable. And like, they don't really seem to have vibes. And I know that word gets tossed around a lot, but like the Knicks do, and it does seem like that helped, the vibes helped them get to 50 wins.
Westbrook is the vibes. Like, if he's playing, they got vibes, and if he's not playing, they got nothing.
And but like, none of their players they don't have personality even on the court. Like, Paul George seems pretty demure. Harden is so, like, flat from a personality standpoint. Kawhi is flatter somehow. Yeah, it's just like, it's
leader.
When do they get excited and how do they show it?
James Harden when he gets fouled on him three. Mm. And Russell Westbrook when he does anything. They're the energy guys off the bench.
It's weird that team, it might also just have to do with the fact that their fans are kind of flat too.
It's the arena. It's brightly lit. I can't stress that enough. It's a brightly lit daytime arena. It's hard to.
It is a daytime arena. Oh, that is such a phrase. That's right. It's a daytime talk show. It's too lit. Go on.
I'm looking forward to their new arena. Maybe they'll turn it into like their own cool little thing in Inglewood.
As both of us, we've been to plenty of Clippers games. There really isn't a home court advantage, I wouldn't say. There's fans in the stands, but I don't think that feels like a loud advantage.
So I don't know if you remember this, but the Clippers and Mavericks have played twice in the playoffs already. The first year was in the bubble, where Luka made like a fucking crazy...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then the Clippers ended up winning. The second time they played, the Clippers the Mavericks and the Clippers, the away team won the first six games. Like,
what?
Dallas stole two in LA, and then the Clippers stole two in Dallas. And then the Dallas won game five in LA. The Clippers stole game six in Dallas, and then the Clippers won game seven at home.
I do not remember that. That is
precedent for the home court not mattering. Who do you think wins this series? The Clippers are 2-0 against Luka.
I think the Mavs do.
I think so too.
I think the Mavs do. Like, yeah. I just like Paul George, when Paul George gets hot, and it's often in the fourth quarter, it's really beautiful to watch. Like, it's really like
he's the smoothest superstar, maybe.
I think you're right. Like, he can cross you up and hit like a 17-foot jumper in just ways that it's just like when the ball leaves his hands, you're like, that is going in. Like, I don't mean to be hating on this team, but like
he might be the best like ISO score too. Like,
it's there
like,
you go.
Him versus KD, and it's like step back in KD's face. Like
he can always get his shot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same with
but Paul. But Luka is better than everyone on the Clippers at this point.
Yeah,
he just is. Like in like multiple facets, he's unguardable in multiple facets of the game. He's like better at the than the other team at it. So it's like it's a tricky thing. And you know, it's like the common refrain about the MVP is like, well, it's Jokic, obviously. But then like the next four guys all have like a good case to be made. But like beyond the MVP, what if Luka makes a serious run right now
like
in the playoffs
last year?
Exactly, where he just like starts like beating teams pretty handily, and he's just like really, yeah, and just like establishing like this is like meet Luka now. Like I don't care about the awards. Like watch me be playoff Luka, and it could very well happen this year.
Yeah, it's sort of, that's the trajectory where it's like. Really good player early on. He's like, oh, he makes like a big noise, but he gets eliminated early. And then it's like, mm-hmm. He made like a Western Conference Finals run and he got close and then he missed the playoffs. But like, it feels like if Luka is like one of these all-time greats, he'll get that championship where it's like Dirk in Dallas.
Exactly.
Like, there was no answer for him for 3 months.
That's it. And he's the type of player in this league who can be a there's no answer type player.
Yeah, he can be an NBA Finals MVP.
We should honor your bet. You made a bet.
Yes.
And you
season long,
which 4 or 5 months ago, whenever it was, you texted me October. And Jesse October and you said, hey, I made this bet. This line is wrong. I was like, you're right. But who wants to wait 5.5 months to find out if you were actually right?
Yeah. It was Luka over 2.5 threes per game.
Yes.
I think it was -140 or something, which is like not great odds, but like I'm like, this is hot, this is happening. He's done this every year of his career and he's only shooting more and getting better.
And you were so correct.
He's averaged like 4.5.
4.5.
Rarely gets under 3.
You won that bet like months ago. Like he would have had to go like over 75 at one point.
Yeah, I'm like, what's preventing me from just going all in, like putting $1,000, $5,000 on this guarantee?
It's a guarantee. And it was.
So I put $250, and then I was mad at you guys all season for saying that I shouldn't have bet more.
Yes, and for those who don't have video, which is all of you, Amir put mad at you in quotes. Yeah. But my question to you is, my statement is congratulations, good bet. My question is, what is his three-point line next year? It was 2.5 this. It's got to be 3.5?
3.5 or something, yeah.
Now that seems harder to predict.
Yeah.
Would you still just say he's going to...
But I would still go over just because he's shooting like 11 a game and making 4 or 5. Like he's just shooting more and more. And that's what the new NBA is. Mm-hmm. Like every time I would like, it was first quarter, he's 3 of 7 from three. It's like he would hit it so fast.
Mm-hmm. So let's focus on the MVP thing for one more second. Jokic didn't play this year. Or even whatever, Jokic wins. Who deserves the number two?
Luka.
You think so?
Yeah, he was 33-9-9 and the team played really well.
So over SGA.
Over SGA.
Over Embiid didn't qualify. Over Brunson.
Over Brunson.
What was his numbers?
Lucas?
Yeah.
33-9-9 or something like that.
That's not true. That really happened?
Yeah.
All year?
It was like 9.9. So it was like almost like 34-10-9. Average.
That's got to be better numbers than Jokic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, he's the MVP.
What the fuck are we doing?
What are we doing? That's just purely wins based at this point, like the number two seed in the West, or however it shook out.
Wins based and also efficiency. Like Jokic rarely misses, and team plays better, and he's just more unguardable slightly, and was more consistent. Like Luka came on stronger at the end, and Jokic is just always there.
Yeah, it's valid. All right, so we like Luka and the Mavs over the Clips potentially.
Yes, I do.
Let's go to the next one and the last one.
Who the hell knows with this one? Phoenix versus Minnesota.
Yeah, it's wild. So unlike betting sites in the regular season, a lot of games, not all, but a lot of West Coast games, I should say, the total points for a game before a tip is generally between like 220 and 235. If it's like Warriors Kings, it could sometimes get up to like 240 something.
Yeah, which is like 125 to 115 final score. Something
like Vegas is like, it's going to be right around.
It's a shootout.
It's a shootout. So I was looking at the lines last night, and almost every single line is like 215 points now.
Yeah.
Like everything gets dialed down. It's half court basketball. We milk the clock. Everything is so calculated. No random decisions. This series, the Suns versus Timberwolves, felt like the one where I was like, bet the over every single game. Like, this is scorers.
These two guys just played each other.
It's true. The Suns smoked the Wolves in game 82. Smoked.
You know they're 3-0 against the Wolves this year.
Yeah. I mean, the Suns, when you look at them, you're like, Booker and Durant, god damn. And then they have other good players, but like they could be a real problem.
It's weird. It's another one of those playoff team versus regular season team.
Yeah.
They never really had the continuity, but like, you know, when the playoffs start, Durant is Durant and Booker is Booker and yada, yada, yada.
And Beal's kind of playing all right. He's like playing better than not playing.
He played really well in that Minnesota game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me see. So the Wolves, which have dominated, like could have been a number one seed if they had won that game. Like
that's
the
right.
Best team in the best conference.
The one seed.
Underdogs.
Underdogs.
Suns favored. By the way, they won 125 to 106. So the over 216 hit.
Yeah. So do you think the Suns are the better team?
I don't.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't believe in Phoenix. I think, I don't know. It just seems so cobbled together. And like the Wolves are like a cohesive defensive. I know they're 0-3. And I know they were down 44 to 22 after one in a must win game. So like, I don't know why I think the Wolves will win.
And they're a defensive team, and they gave up 44 in the first quarter.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is weird. It's a weird series. Two weird teams that I can't quite put my finger on. I would think I would give an edge to the home court advantage. Wolves, who are the 3 seed, almost mm-hmm. borderline 1 seed, who played really well all year and are the best defensive team in the NBA.
Mm. This one feels like probably the biggest toss-up of them all. But I do think the Suns win it.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like
the betting market.
So I think that Anthony Edwards is kind of in that Luka thing of like a few years ago where it's like, you're a star. Like you are an absolute star. You are like a real star, not just charismatic. Like you're so good at basketball.
Yeah.
You need 2 more years.
Yeah.
You just need two. You just need 2 more years. Like it's going to be really hard for you to climb the mountain against Durant. And like even Kat doesn't have real playoff history, you know?
No, this team hasn't made it past the first round since 2003 or something.
Right. And like no player on the team. Like I don't think Gobert in the NBA has had like a really long run in the playoffs, right?
Like Conley maybe.
Yeah, maybe Conley.
Edwards in this game was 3 of 7 from the field.
That doesn't seem right at all.
Like Luka would not shoot 3 of 7 in any game. Like
3 of 7?
3 of 7.
Like I don't even care about the percentages. 7?
Yeah.
7?
8 free throws, 7 shots, and he was out. I mean, it was kind of a blowout, so it's not entirely indicative of how he'll shoot. But yeah, he should be shooting 25 times a game.
Easily. Would he play like 17 minutes?
He played 35 minutes. He was just getting double teamed, so he was like crowded, surrounded, and would pass or like try to force it or get fouled. But like,
interesting.
He didn't get to his spots.
Interesting. I mean,
he's also
that's
22.
That's it. That's it. Take some time. Take some time.
It's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm way older than 42. I'm 22, so I get it. That's cool.
Yeah. He's still awesome.
Let me ask you this. Going through the four rounds that we just talked about, again, I'll remind you, it's the Pacers versus the Bucks, the Cavs versus the Magic, the Clippers versus the Mavs, and the Wolves versus the Suns. How many of those do you think go 7?
Ooh, I think Clippers Mavericks might.
Okay.
Suns T Wolves might.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like
the might is okay.
Magic to win before 7.
Quite yeah.
Frankly.
You like the one of those two teams to just kind of like figure it out and run away?
Yeah, or like to take advantage of an older struggling team mm-hmm. with like weird larger issues looming.
And Cavs Magic, you think that has a chance?
No, I don't. I think Orlando will win.
Wow. Well, you think before 7 games?
Yeah, I do.
Wow. This to me is like the best 2 to 3 weeks of sports.
There's so much playoff basketball.
It's just so many games. Like when you get to the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals, it's like, it's awesome, but it's like, intense. I like volume. I like volume. Give me four games a day. Oh, give me four games a day. And give me like, 2 games a day. It's even great.
Stars are playing 42 minutes. They're like trying their hardest. These are all must-win games for every team all the time.
Yes. On the West Coast, give me like a 4:30 and a 7:30 and leave me alone. Like that sounds so nice.
Have you noticed this new refereeing thing when you're watching the games where they're not calling
swallowing
fouls?
The whistle? Yeah. I didn't notice it until we talked about it on the most recent Buckets last time when somebody like
now
brought
that
it
I'm
up.
Watching, I'm watching the games. It's like fairly like different. Like it's kind of a game changer. Brunson too, I'm sure, is like often leading into people not getting a whistle. It's even happening to LeBron. Like he's driving to the basket, initiating contact, and he would miss a layup and they wouldn't call anything. I'm like, oh,
is it course correction? Was there too many whistles?
Yeah, there was too much like LeBron running into a guy and like just throwing it up. Austin Reeves like pump faking, running their body into somebody and shooting. Mm-hmm. They're just not calling those anymore, which is really helpful to some teams.
Like what teams?
I think the bigger teams that play like Minnesota with Gobert, where like he could just be tall and be aggressive, or like AD is also like.
On the defensive side, you're saying?
Yeah,
you can guard a little differently.
I think it really rattled New Orleans the other day.
What rattled New Orleans?
The lack of foul. Like, Zion would fucking jump into these defenders, and we would just stay like this, and they wouldn't call a foul, and he was getting very frustrated.
What side of the line do you lean where it's
like this way.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm shocked that it happened like like the 58% mark of the season. They're just like, let's switch it right now.
And that actually feels like that came from the top down. We're like, that was like a mandate to be like, let's have a meeting.
Yeah. Because like, these guys are getting way too, they're getting the line a lot. And that's why I think the over-under lines have gotten lower. Mm-hmm. And in the playoffs, it'll go even lower than that.
Yeah. It is like, it's funny how it's like, there's just no objective rule where it's like, sometimes they'll just be like, turn the dial a little bit down and then like turn it up a little bit. It's like, there should be no dial. There should be a set of rules that it's like, there is a foul or there is not a foul.
But it's so subjective. Like, not all contact is a foul, and the way you want to referee it is totally different.
And that's what Tim Donaghy said about, like, when he was asked, how did you actually shave points? How did you actually, like, manipulate the score? He was like, oh, garbage time. He's like, in garbage time, you could just blow the whistle all the time. Like, no one's really... He's like, there's so many ticky-tack fouls where it's like, you can make an 11-point game, a 6-point game, and no one's going to care.
Now they're doing it during the actual game.
Yeah, now Silver's like, so it's going to make it a 6-point game, if you don't mind.
Okay, so who are we rooting for in the play-in? Who do you want the Knicks to play?
I want the Heat. I mean, as proven as Jimmy Butler is in the playoffs, Embiid
literally beat you last year.
Yes, but like...
on a bum ankle.
No Haslam. You know, there's no Haslam. There's no Haslam this year. Embiid is just terrifying.
Yeah.
Embiid's terrifying. You bet, like months ago, that the Sixers could win it all.
Yeah, because of Embiid. It was just like,
that's what I'm saying.
This guy's the best player, and Maxey's pretty good too, and that's enough sometimes.
That's what I'm saying. Maxey's a nightmare. Like, there's just like enough. What's cool is that I have like faith in the Knicks. Like, I'm like, oh, we're competent. And like, we could actually match up and like, you know, stand our ground. But Embiid would be the best player in the game for every game that we play.
Yeah.
You know, so that's scary.
Brunson would be the best player for the Heat.
Yes, I think so. So, yes, give me the Heat.
Okay. And then Sixers-Celtics would be fun.
That would be very...
first round. Because like, if they steal a game in Boston, Celtics will feel the pressure.
That's wild because I hate Philadelphia sports. And I would be so rooting for that moment to happen. For
the Celtics in the first round, that'd be awesome.
It's pretty cool that we've made it 50 minutes on this podcast and haven't mentioned the Celtics once.
Yeah, and rarely. We didn't mention the two teams that we'll probably be playing against.
That's right. It's true. We'll get there. We'll get there in a week or so.
For now, let's talk about Orlando and Indiana. Here.
Yeah, show respect. Go on. Who are the other players?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm rooting for them to win. I think my final answer is let's win. Let's see how we do against Denver. If we can steal one of the first two games, we have a series in Denver. That's not out of question.
And I don't know the like current health of Jamal Murray.
Yeah, that's true. He's in and out of the lineup. So maybe you want to get him now while he's not at 100% strength.
Yes. And I'm not a Fairweather fan by any stretch of the imagination. However, like I haven't watched 40 Nuggets games this year. But they just don't scare me like they seem to scare people who do watch them and know how good they are. Like, they just right. don't scare me like that. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Does Boston scare you? Does anybody scare you?
Yeah, Boston is really, really... They've played bad this past, like, week and a half, so, like, that kind of, like, taints the perspective. But when you see them play, you're like, yeah. whoa, baby.
Yeah.
Like, when Derek White is, like, the best player on the court, and you're like, oh, my God, they still have Tatum, Porzingis, Drew Holiday, Jalen Brown. Like, it's like, it's Horford.
It's a never-ending stream of awesome players.
Yeah. And when they get hot, like, guys like Hauser, you're just like, oh, my God, Hauser's killing us now. Like, we don't stand a chance.
This sucks.
They're
all so white and tall.
They're so Celtic-y. They're all so Celtic-y.
Porzingis.
Yeah.
Imagine so Porzingis winning a championship.
He's disgusting. Winning it probably this year. Oh, God.
And then OKC, what's a fun matchup for them? Golden State, probably.
Yeah, that would be fun. That's the past and the future, right? Colliding head on.
Yeah. OKC, Golden State, Lakers, Nuggets. That's what we're rooting for here.
OKC, Golden State, who do you have in that?
I think OKC.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think
Golden State is solid, but their best days are behind them.
Mm, yeah.
They're beatable. For the first time in a while. And they're not very good at home, oddly enough.
Yeah, there could be some real changing of the guard energy this year, where, like, the Thunder make it through, potentially the Wolves make it through, you know, like, and the Warriors lose early. Like, we've seen a lot, like, the Lakers and the Warriors are just so playoff every single year. It would be interesting to see some of the main teams get knocked out early, like the new blood actually prove the regular season wasn't a fluke.
Should be interesting. Clippers, Mavericks, another old guard versus new guard. Can
they
finally beat Kawhi and Paul George?
Exactly.
Third attempt.
Yeah, we'll find out.
All right. Let's have fun. Let's watch sports. Basketball, buckets. Baby.
This is like the fifth buckets of the year. Good job. 82 games in.
It's tough. It's a grind. We didn't get nominated for that all NBA award because we only did 5 episodes instead of the minimum 65.
That's right. Yeah, I checked the sports Emmy nominations. Buckets wasn't there.
Weird. There's always next year, I guess.
There's always next year.
And there's always this year. The fucking playoffs are here. Congratulations. Billy, and congrats on winning the over-under. Is this your second time winning?
This is the second time in a row. And I can't not say that I also won the points league last year. So back I am to back fielding myself.
League.
Yeah. I'm starting to get to that place of like, you guys don't have to send me money. Like, this is like a... Yeah.
Okay, great. Can you Venmo me back the $82 then?
I actually am driving through a tunnel right now. This reception's bad. Give me a sec.
Has anybody Venmo'd me? You but me?
Jesse has and Marty has. Okay, so Zeus and Wendelkin, you're on the clock. It's tax day.
You think you'll ever bring it up if they don't?
No. No.
Never.
No.
That's awesome.
I don't know what people's financial situations are.
You don't have... Honestly, they don't have to pay you.
No, keep it. It's fine. I don't want it.
In fact, I don't... I actively diswant it.
Yeah, keep it.
All right, cool. See you guys soon. Thanks for listening. And enjoy the games, everybody.
Enjoy the playoffs, y'all.
That was a HeadGum Original.